Blog Talk Radio.
Enough is enough. Yes. And you are not coming to the people's defense.
That's right, right.
So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better. Do what you say. This country is supposed to be about the land of the free for all. It has not been free for black people, and we are tired.
One question, protect and serve who? To me it seems that they just quit to observe you, and then they have the nerve to come and disturb you, enforce a curfew to physically hurt you. I heard the patience was a virtue, but how long we gonna disregard the fact is we all talk and practice this new age, trying to rebuke rage, or y'all gonna need some skin more tougher than Luke Cage. Trayvon, Terrence, they gone, perished, on up to George Floyd. See what your laws avoid, and now we gotta find some sort of order before the slaughter gets brought up with mortar report of those who do the unthought. This we gotta put a mandate on. You see my bullet wounds and try to put a band-aid on. As soon as one of us take a stand, they wrong, because you wanna keep us on your plantation. Come on.
Get up. Get up.
Must be a better way.
Get up.
I see this every day.
Get up.
We can't be left.
Where they come for ya,
the sheets are on,
and I don't see no comforter. Now you may prepare for 2K, but they prepare for 3Ks. Order comes here later. I see the ones that fight for solidarity, and still in all I see a lot of y'all ain't hearing me. You know what? The fact is y'all kinda forgot to struggle like activists, all timers. Learn to walk the walk on the path when it's narrow. Can't be crabs in the barrel, this is grab in the apparel. We should demand order to correct the manslaughter for residents of Flint drinking tan water. And Puerto Rico, what they here for your people?
No.
Let's stay strong and try to keep a hand in it. Transcend it until the next pandemic. Let's go.
You only got suspended. They all say I'm hating and only race baits. But we ain't gonna trust us until we get justice. Yeah. In the fight for peace, we gonna rise like heat. Hey, cause in the darkest hour, we still fight the power. Yo, you can't stop the cavalry from Malcolm to Mallory. We're gonna keep it 100. We ain't trying to run from it. Yo, think we're gonna stay distracted. Y'all got it backwards.
We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against the common enemy.
We now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policies.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage.
Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
So and a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
You can't fool all the people all of the time, but if you fool the right one, then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life form
There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley got the cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. Computer chip in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon. Pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God. Out of ignorance and fear, it's God made man. And why the hell would he put us here? I thought he's supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-assed leadership. Different position, they turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got the brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedier? The big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown. Who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found? It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley got some cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed Huey because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
Because we understand the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.
Of his days, a price that he paid for the mistake he made. So I'm more focused cause my lifestyle's focused. I got to get out cause this fast life's over.
You can't keep you crying and all the sins. You'll find peace in the end.
Justifies the fiends. Poverty and unemployment justifies the screens. The reason taxes pay for just to buy clean. 2006 would choose the size of me, but in the end he wasn't really what he tried to be. I never let the war justify me. I question how hard some of these cats really be. Cause real niggas don't speak, our actions talk more. Don't make me flip and turn these streets into a chalkboard. I do this for all the real niggas that smoke trees. The hustlers, players, pimps, and OGs. For the up-and-coming cats to the old schoolers. The ones that remember Private Stock and Calvin Coolers. It's a struggle to make it. Keep pushing. See how far you can take it. Two eye of what I navigated was.
Fucking dick sucking, redneck, son of a bitch. All it takes is one pussy who ain't getting none to catch you on a dark street and put you to sleep. Dude was one deep at the store. He said, I ain't no hoe. He got clapped in the back of his throat. Woo! It didn't have to go like that. Believe me, mister, someday niggas gon' respect these pistols. Made a stay, get out the way when a fool got the up. Try to get a motherfucker shot in the gut. And remember this before you grown, till the day that you gone. Greedy don't last too long. The secret is to win, jump out the game and have money for life. Not to stick around till you lose all your shit to the fight.
You can't be too strong and all the circumstances. You'll find peace in the end. Don't cry.
Kind of attack. Areas mapped out to be no strategic. Me and my platoon make a move wherever we go. But what are we here for? Who's on the other side of the wall?
Somebody give the president a call. But I hear warfare screams through the air. Back to the battleground before they declare a desert storm. Let's see who reigns supreme. Something like Monopoly, a government scheme. Go to the army, be all you could be. Another dead soldier, hell no, not me. So I start letting off ammunition in every direction. A law is my only protection. But wait a minute, Saddam Hussein prays the same. And this is Asia, from where I came. I'm on the wrong side, so change the target. Shooting at the general, and where's the sergeant? Blame it on John Honey Hawkins for bringing me to America. Now it's mass hysteria. I get a rush when I see blood, dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. The war is over, but now at least, just because they lost, it don't mean it's peace. It's a long way home, it's a lot to think about. Whole generation left in doubt. Innocent families killed in the midst. It'll be more dead people after this. So I'm glad to be alive and walking. Half of my platoon came home in coffins. A separate general buried in the storm. And bits and pieces, no need to look for them. I played it slick and got away with it. Picked it up so they would think they did it. Now I'm home on reserve and you can bet when they call, I'm going AWOL. Cause there ain't no way I'm going back to war. When I don't know who or what I'm fighting for. So I wait for terrorists to attack. Every time a truck backfires, I fire back. I look for shelter when the plane is over me. Remember Pearl Harbor, New York will be over me. Kamikaze, grab the bomb. No peace in the east, they won't revenge for the dawn. Did I hear gunshots and thunder? No time to wonder, somebody's going under. Put on my fatigues and my camouflage. Take control, cause I'm in charge. When I snapped out of it, it was blood, dead bodies on the floor. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war. Casualties of war.
Going back to Zion.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I must be myself. And I must vibrate according to the way that the almighty, all-wise God and creator and the ancestors have me vibrating. That we will stay on the path toward our spirituality. Stay on the path toward reconnecting with ourselves. Before the coming of the white man, we didn't have to deal with a book to give us our morality. We didn't have to deal with a Bible. The Bible comes within a 6,000-year span. The Quran comes in a 6,000-year span.
Come on now.
You think we, the original man and the original woman, had to wait until 6,000 years ago before some prophet Muhammad, or within 1,400 years, a prophet from Arabia came and brought us a revealed book? I beg your pardon. You think we had to wait for a Bible, as it is called? He was absolutely right about these books. We didn't have to wait for these books. We didn't go in a church. He's right. We didn't go in a temple. We didn't go in a masjid. We didn't have to go to any of those places. Our every action, our every heartbeat, our every pulse beat was a prayer in harmony with the divine universal order. Talk back to me. Talk back to me. Talk back to me. I have found since my days with the Nation of Islam and no longer being in the mosque, that I now draw from all of our spiritual expressions. And that I now have come to, as you, many of you have heard me say many times, while I was supreme captain or national spokesman or whatever in the Nation of Islam, that if it were not for Africa, if it were not for the original black man and black woman, there would be no Islam, no Christianity, no Judaism. None of the world's major religions, as Dr. Yosef Binyakin and Dr. John Henry Clark and others have taught us, would be in existence if there were no original black man and woman and no Africa. The Kano bowl holds African spirituality. The bowl of Islam is too shallow to hold African spirituality. The bowl of Christianity is too shallow. Kano bowl holds African spirituality. The bowl of Yoruba, the Ifa, the Akan, even the bowl of ancient Kemetic teachings and the principles of Maya, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, and reciprocity, one of them being substituted with propriety that speaks to morality. Righteousness speaks to morality.
RBGs. Know what I mean? It's war. Know what I mean? Yo, Stick. I mean, shit be real on
war.
The block. Pigs be out there, occupied army. RBGs, it's a takeover, not a makeover. Yeah. The cops stop you just because you black, that's war. Run you through the system for your prince, that's war. When they call my hood a drug zone, that's war. Slumlord charging you for rent, that's war. Why they so rich and we poor, that's war. If you young and black, you sell crack, that's war. The White House is the rock house, that's war. George Bush coming out his mouth, that's war. Chilling on the corner with your gang, that's war. Popo do the same damn thing, that's war. When they murdered Amadou Diallo, that's war. Marching in the streets is a strategy of war. Knowing self-defense is a strategy of war. Soldiers try to link with other soldiers in the war. Revolutionaries got to know the art of war. War, what about hip-hop? Use that. Matter of fact, fuck a rap battle. What about a gat battle? Let's take it to the beast and see which cat tattle. Is it kids versus beans or B versus hoes? What about y'all real niggas against the 5-0? This is M1, DP, don't you forget. Cause you can talk, 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 but that don't mean shit. I ain't gotta pop the top to see where your brains went. This rap shit is way bigger than entertainment. It's the people versus the pigs when it all go down. It's not pop versus big, it's who's getting the power. And power ain't money, dog, it's self-determination. Like taking hot and making it the real people station, that's war.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I must be myself. And I must vibrate according to the way that the Almighty, All-Wise God and Creator and the ancestors have me vibrating, that we will stay on the path toward our spirituality, stay on the path toward reconnecting with ourselves. Before the coming of the white man, we didn't have to deal with a book to give us our morality. We didn't have to deal with a Bible. The Bible comes within a 6,000-year span. The Quran comes in a 6,000-year span.
Come on now.
You think we, the original man and the original woman, had to wait until 6,000 years ago before some prophet Muhammad, or within 1,400 years, a prophet from Arabia came and brought us a revealed book? I beg your pardon. You think we had to wait for a Bible, as it is called? He was absolutely right about these books. We didn't have to wait for these books. We didn't go in a church. He's right. We didn't go in a temple. We didn't go in a masjid. We didn't have to go to any of those places. Our every action, our every heartbeat, our every pulse beat was a prayer in harmony with the divine universal order. Talk back to me. Talk back to me. Talk back to me. I have found, since my days with the Nation of Islam and no longer being in the mosque, that I now draw from all of our spiritual expressions. And that I now have come to, as you, many of you have heard me say many times, while I was supreme captain or national spokesman or whatever in the Nation of Islam, that if it were not for Africa, if it were not for the original black man and black woman, there would be no Islam, no Christianity, no Judaism. None of the world's major religions, as Dr. Yosef Binyakin and Dr. John Henry Clark and others have taught us, would be in existence if there were no original black man and woman and no Africa. The Kano bowl holds African spirituality. The bowl of Islam is too shallow to hold African spirituality. The bowl of Christianity is too shallow. Kano bowl holds African spirituality. The bowl of Yoruba, the Ifa, the Akan, even the bowl of ancient Kemetic teachings and the principles of Maya, truth, justice, righteousness, harmony, balance, order, and reciprocity, one of them being substituted with propriety that speaks to morality. Righteousness speaks to morality.
Power, black nation. You're tuned into In Defense of the People, Tuesday weekly night broadcast at 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, with your host, People's Political Party National Chair, Matt Turner, co-host, Brother Motherland, National Minister of Defense, and our engineers on the ones and twos, Sister Aminem, National Minister of Communication. Calling each and every Tuesday night, same black place, same black time, at 845-277-9266. Press 1 to participate. Tonight's topic, the criminalization of our children. We're going to open up our phone lines to our national chair. And just before we open up our phone lines, we're going to let y'all know tonight, just as we do every night when we get on here, if you're looking for a watered-down version of what a revolutionary is, I ask you to change your channel right now. With that being said, we're going to say all power to the people, Yahuru and Black Power. Black Power, comrade, can you hear me?
Right on, my brother. Word up, word up. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Black Power. You rule. Loud and clear.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Black Power. Black people specifically, all power to the people. Yeah, the power should always be in control of the possession of the hands of the people. And Yuhu is a battle cry in Africa for true liberation, which will bring about freedom, not in the abstract. I'm going to say this. Sometimes, this type of language or terminologies of words may catch some of us a bit by, I don't know if it's surprise or it could even be culture shock or, but you know, kind of a suddenness. And that's just because, you know, the general conditioning of our minds, you know, we generally, you know, would say, you know, freedom, justice, and equality, you know, the people have been generally taught to relate to one another and kind of one another in any walk of life and say black power to each other, you know, we've been conditioned, terms of, you know, yeah, you know, freedom, you know, and, the usual, you know, story, picture, image, or projection that's been fed to us. You know, when you think about black people, you know, struggling, you know, dealing with racism and, you know, all kinds of shit, you know, job and whatnot, you know, that people start talking about what's not fair and how black people still go through it and then nothing changed. You know, when people get to talking about, you know, well, you know, man, you know, Dr. King, this, and Rosa Parks stood up for this and that, you know. The usual social engineering content strategy, you know. So most of us not used to hearing some brother walking down the street, some sister, and greet them and say black power, you know. You know what I'm saying? And that has become a battle cry, you know, it has become a common language, you know, so we you know, in essence is, you know, moving the you know, to take back the narrative or to take over the narrative, to be honest with you. It's just like on the street, you know, somebody comes along full of charisma and he starts, you know, using some terminology, some words, you know, shit catch fire. And, you know, I always like to use Flavor Flav, you know, back in the 80s and the 90s, you know, he did certain things and everybody else was mimicking him, you know. He used terminologies and words and the shit caught fire. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he, you know, we started saying clocking. Everybody started saying clocking. Yeah, man, you clocking, you know, stuff like that, you know, just that became terminology. There are books that some of these authors or persons who studied hip-hop and whatnot, you know, trying to write a damn dictionary of hip-hop language and whatnot, you know, and you will see these terms. So it's the same thing. You know, I shit catch fire. And we must make black power catch fire realistically. You know, there's nothing wrong with saying black power. Nothing wrong with saying black power to each other. That ain't something, or that's too much, or that's too black, or wait, you know, that's too strong. You know, the socialization of black people collectively, you know, to get around white people and be afraid or to feel like they're offending somebody other than themselves, you know. Putting other people before ourselves when it comes to our true feelings. You know what I'm saying? You know, the A-Rap, they're in a flash. You know what I'm saying? East Asian people, shit, they hold on to their East Asian-ness. You know, they hold on to their East Asiatic psychology, you know? And we must do the same. You know, so there's nothing wrong with saying black power. We wouldn't have to say black power if there was a white power that has made itself tentacle structure around the world. People wouldn't have to resort to certain things if there was no opposite or no opposing force or you know, like two football teams, you know, like offensive line that lines up against the defensive line. And they call that shit the trenches. So sports is a subliminal game of war. You know, and every terminology they use to describe a play and everything, not a goddamn running back is referred to as a beast. You know, he a beast on the field. Where do they get that shit from? Where do they get that shit from? Not everybody using the land. Everybody saying the shit.
But where do we get these terms from? What the fuck is a beast? You know, the last time I checked, a beast is a four-legged goddamn animal that kills, that hunts for food. You know, like a lion. You know what I'm saying? So where did they get these terminologies from? And now the children is using this shit. And they making commercials. And we look at the commercials and we see them as fun, laughing. The commercials, you know, we laugh. You know, we get a chuckle out of the commercial. And we like, oh, I like that one. But where did they get that shit from? And all the while, we don't realize what's being done to our children. Our children turn into fucking beasts. They was born human. They came out of their mother's wombs as the most innocent things in the world, the most precious forms of life in the world. So how they become beasts? That shit just don't drop out of the sky. It just don't happen. It just don't happen like that. These are material conditions that lead to concrete realities. There ain't a person on this planet that could prove that shit wrong. You go get anybody. You can go dig up your favorite people if you want to. Ask them try to refute it. You know, but where does all of that stuff stem from? It just don't happen like that. So, you know, you know, the title of this show comes as a result of this little 11-year-old girl and a 15-year-old brother. You know, we're not going to say their names due to their being, you know, at such an age, whatnot, you know. But in Iberia Parish, New Iberia, or Louisiana, whatever, back in November 2023. And, you know, as People's Political Party, you know, we go see about our people. You know, we stay active in pretty much all the shit that's going on with our people, you know, in Louisiana and whatnot, you know. We've been on the front lines for a while under another name or whatever, local and stuff like that in the past and stuff, you know. And this little girl was being charged with murder, you know. this brother, who I would assume, or this brother named Cameron Bedsoe, was murdered in November. And they arrested the mother, her 15-year-old brother, you know, and, you know, charged the mother, of course, with conspiracy to cover up or, you know, to cover up the murder, whatever, stuff like that. And they arrested the, you know, the little, kidnapped the little girl. And just go, you know, I had to correct that shit. You know, we say kidnap. And by design, you know, we use terminologies, words, expressions, adjectives the same way that the state does. What does the state, the politician, the businessman, the judge, and the police that work in a concerted effort to keep the structure, the present structure intact, which is built off of the black, disenfranchised, the black enslaved population here in America, you know, that laid down the groundwork, the infrastructure for what people don't understand as capitalism. You know, you're in it, you're part of it, you feel it, you know, everywhere you go when you have to spend money, you know, and whatnot, you know, sell, you know, the commercial class or the merchant class or whatnot, the business class, the corporate class, your labor in return for some residuals, you know, your residuals, right? You know, the whole banking system, credit card system, and then these various forms of insurance and whatnot, you know, and so forth. You know, there's a constant process of constantly, you know, milking the people like a cow over and over. And you know what I'm saying? And those are conditions that are created. But the constant bombardment, you know, of a people, of a population under a system, And again, all too many times we get swept up into all the, you know, the liberal bullshit. You know, they have motherfuckers that got talk shows that shouldn't even be having talk shows. You know, they no more, no less than part and parcel of the state, an arm of the state, a willing extension of the state that does what? Help the state maintain itself, to keep perpetuating itself in exchange for a small group that has become a class within the black collective, you know, that has access to material luxury. We're all materialistic. We're all materialists. Materialists. Because so let me, you know, make this clear. We're all materialists for the simple fact that we build, you know, places, you know, to live and whatnot, you know, since the ancient times, and learn to clothe ourselves due to the seasons, you know, and accumulate and whatnot. So becoming materialist, you know what I'm saying, production and whatnot like that, right? But under any form of system that people would like to refer to as a government, you know, you subjected to something. And it basically could be positive or negative. You know, it's basically, some people try to, you know, use this in-between shit, you know, good and positive, you know, this gray area shit, you know, gray area positive. Well, the devil ain't good, ain't bad. You know, to my understanding, you know, when I was coming up, you know, going to Baptist church, you know, black people collectively, generally, you know, Baptists and whatnot, you know, and we always taught about the devil, Satan, Lucifer, and all this kind of shit. When we were boys and girls, we never was told that the devil had a gray area, that Satan was good and bad. You know, he had no good side. He was nice to you at times, and then he would, no, bullshit. It is what it is, you know. Motherfuckers, they chose sides. They drew the line. They, you know, I'm telling you, this is a simple mathematics that seems to get left out of the shuffle due to all the bullshit. But, so, you know, they kidnapped this little girl, and she's been, you know, a POW, a child POW for more than 100 days now. And they had a demonstration back in early March. You know, what it was up there, you know, New Iberia, you know, the courthouse and whatnot, and, you know, family members, you know, some, you know, activist groups, you know, showed up, you know, there's one particular group called Village 337 that's, you know, closer than we are as People's Political Party, and we've connected with them before, you know, on a number of occasions and whatnot, you know, some of these high-profile, high-tech lynchings and executions of unarmed black men at the hands of the police that the Black Panther Party correctly relabeled as the pigs, you know what I'm saying, due to the irreconcilable relationship between black people collectively and the state as a historical phenomenon since day one. You know, and so, you know, the demonstration, and then more recently, I believe it was on the 14th, so that we were doing it to charge a little girl with first degree murder and some other things that went along with that, accessory or whatever. But anyway, you know, they had a trial date, and they come out, and as usual, you know, cut a deal, you know. Threaten, you know, the person with, you know, this draconian sentence, or in exchange for whatnot. And so they dropped all those charges except obstruction, and you know, the prosecutor pigs wanna seek 7 years. You know, for this little sister, you know, this a baby, 11-year-old child, 11-year-old baby, you know what I'm saying? And in exchange for, you know, testimony, you know, against her 15-year-old brother, you know, for the murder of Cameron Bedsole, right? And of course the mother being charged. But this is when you think about it, you know, your chances are somebody would be like, well, this is a child. This is an 11-year-old child, and how did it get that way? You know, like, where was her parents? Like, you know, what 11-year-old girl doing got any business, you know, with being an accomplice or an accessory to a man being murdered? This brother, I think about 36 years old or something like that. You know, those are things that come to mind that I would bet, you know, the average person, you know, you see it on the news, the news broadcast and shit, and you look and you get, you know, and you know, we got people, you know, this is a class issue, even amongst ourselves, you know, one would imagine what, you know, this black man who's a billionaire would think about the little girl. One would imagine what somebody who lived, you know, in a middle class neighborhood or whatnot would think about the little girl, and then somebody who they say live in the hood, you know, would think about the. You see what I'm saying? We have some class issues, you know. We've taken on the mind of the colonizer. We're a colonialized people. So we don't necessarily see the world through our own eyes. We see the world through the eyes of the colonizer because we're the colonized. So we'll talk like them, we'll speak like them, we'll draw conclusions like them. And that's natural that the colonizer would draw a conclusion that would throw himself out of the equation, that would not include himself into the equation of the whole shit. You know, when you was in school, you know, you know, in algebra class, you know, you have to take algebra, and they give you a word problem, and whatnot. You have to learn fractions and shit, you know, so forth, whatnot, right? Like, what's 3/4 of 100? And you know, you learn that shit. You you're given a word problem. It's a trick word problem. In the same, you have to take the word problem and set it up into a fraction, you know, right? And it's a reason for that shit. There's a reason for it. Because later on in life, you grow up, become successful, and get you a nice big house, and then, you know, you have a leak in the ceiling due to your air system and whatnot, and your ceiling caved in or whatever, or, you know, you got termite problems. The termites then came and ate up your part of your living room wall. So for or your wooden, you know, vinyl floors, you know, your exquisite vinyl wooden floor, and you had to learn measurements and shit, you know, 3 by this, 4 by that, you know. So it's a reason why they taught you geometry and algebra and geometry in class, you know. There's a reason for it. So later on, like, you, oh shit, you know, or let me get a ruler, you know, let me get a measuring tape so I can know how much sheetrock I need to get. And so there's a reason for it. It's an equation. You don't leave out the width, and then you gonna fix it and don't know the width. How you gonna go buy the sheetrock? How you gonna know how much sheetrock to buy if you don't know the width or the wall or the length? You see what I'm saying? So there's a reason for it. You don't know the spacing in between. The beams in your wall, right? How you gonna know how to mark the sheetrock off or whatnot? You know, to put the sheetrock up, you know, with your sheetrock nails and whatnot, you know, right? You know, but so it's a reason for it. It's an equation to all of this here. But because we've been so messed up, we've been so jived out, man. We've been so kind. You know, this jive-ass type shit. We done been so, man, I might be struggling here for words tonight. I don't know.
You know, I'm warming up. You know, but the lack of a real politicizing of a true political education. How you gonna beat what you don't know and conquer what you don't understand? You know? You know, this government, the military arm of this government, don't go in foreign countries like Iraq and attack the motherfucker unless it has done their homework. No, they ain't go attack them oil fields, you know, try, you know, or take over them. They didn't go after the electricity and the water just by coincidence, or they stumbled upon the main for the water line, or they just happened to accidentally blow it up while they was trying to go after something else. You know, while they were trying to lob a missile at Saddam, and they just stumbled upon the water line. No, they knew exactly where the water lines was. They knew exactly where the oil fields is. They knew exactly what the electric grid is. By what? By doing what? You see? So we have to apply that same kind of process of understanding to understand this whole shit. And that's why we tied the decriminalization of our children. We're not going to just blame the white man, you know, so we can give other people ammunition and say, still stuck in the past, still living in the past, ain't the white man ain't did it. The white man ain't pulled the trigger. It was some little nigga that pulled the trigger, or he should have been in school, or he should have been at home, you know, at home and whatnot. You know, the same usual shit that always comes out when it's our children. The same usual explanation, same usual responsive conversation that people have on their lunch break, on their job, or whatever, sitting at home, watching it on the news, you know, whatnot. The same usual, or it's on the street corner, or, you know, neighbors talking about it across the street, same shit. But they have no idea whatsoever. They can't get past, look, I want to say first base shit. They more than likely can't even get the first base. They can't even get off home plate. Because we don't have no understanding of nothing. Now, some of us, we do instinctually, we know. But even in that sense, we'll block that shit out. Because you know why? That's what colonized minds do. That's what colonized minds do. You know, the Europeans was in Western Europe using all these terminologies toward women. Africans didn't know nothing about that shit. We didn't know nothing about none of that vulgar slang for women, period. So tell me why we using all these terms now the same way the Europeans be using them for their women in Western Europe. So tell me why we say them now. It done got so bad, black women call themselves bitches in a twisted, terms of endearment way. Because you know why? We try to take a negative and turn it into a positive. Tupac took the word nigger and tried to turn it into a negative into a positive. So he confiscated the word, chopped the E and the R off, and put an A in the place of that because how black people speak. You know, our speech patterns, you know. You know, I didn't be trying to get some people to speak English and they can't necessarily get the word. You know, like if you ask Spanish people to say Victoria, right? This old heifer that they call the queen, right? You try to get Spanish people to pronounce her name. They can't go no further than saying Victoria. They can't get the C. I'm not saying it's totally impossible, but in general, collectively, it's been hard to say that C. So they spell Victoria in Spanish. V-I-T-T-O-R-I-A, Victoria, because of their speech pattern, right? So we don't say nigger. We say nigger. Man, that's my nigger. It sounds like an A. So he took that, made an acronym out of it, because he was trying to turn a negative into a positive. You see? So you see black women, you know, yeah, bitch, come on. We rolling out tonight, you know? It's a that right there alone is a classic example. I don't have to make this up, but somebody please tell me all the terminology that the Europeans use toward their women
in the 15th century, the 14th century, the 13th century, the 16th, 17th century, it's the same terminology that black men using right now today. So how it got to be that way? How it got to be that way? Why are we speaking English? Why are we the only group in America that ain't bilingual? We the only group in America that can't speak under the language that we know where our ancestors came from. Right? They talk that shit about the children in this multicultural exchange, you know, all this old bullshit. You know, you can learn French, you can learn Spanish, right? And they tell us we equal our children. Oh, they together, they equals. You know, they're all together. Okay, well, why ninth grader ain't learning Swahili in the classroom? They got some so-called black schools that don't even have the shit. But they got Spanish, they got French. So what's the problem? That's part of criminalizing our children. Because what it does, it projects French and Spanish in this lofty plane, and it conditions them so much so that they leave themselves out. They can't see themselves. That's part of the criminalization of our children in this so-called school system that we rename as the public school system, because it makes fools of our children. It's made fools of all of us. And we wonder why we struggling. You know, the grown people looking at the children, the youth, and wonder why they acting out the way they acting out, why they doing the things that they doing. And then they be saying shit like this: oh, well, we wasn't that bad. You know, we wasn't that wild. You know, well, this shit they doing, we didn't do that back then. All this killing, you're a goddamn lie. Yes, you did. But you're using the children as a scapegoat, because you haven't stepped forward to guide them. Just the same way you expected when you was a boy or a girl in the 70s to be guided by somebody who was born in the 50s and the 60s. The same shit. The same way those elders got abused physically, psychologically. They couldn't do it. The Europeans couldn't, the state couldn't do it to them spiritually. And that's another factor that always gets left out, or maybe sometimes. But the same thing that they went through in the 50s and the 60s. So our black asses go eat at a goddamn lunch time and have a fucking Coke, some fries, and a hamburger. You know, or sit on the front of the bus trying to go downtown to buy a pair of goddamn Jordans or a polo. Yeah, people pay the price for that. And niggas come out of the 70s, out of the 60s, into the 70s, 80s, and into the 80s. Because the shit was actually still, it was still vibing in the 70s. It didn't die down, you know, after the government viciously attacked certain organizations. It didn't die down immediately. But when we came into the 70s, all of a sudden, oh, that shit's a thing of the past. Or we's free now. Free or what? And we shirk that responsibility. Of course, there's a number of factors that go into it. You know, one operation after the next on a part of the state disguised as something else, like the war on crime. Let me say this here, which leads to the war on crime, the war on drugs, the war on AIDS, and what? You know, this thing that they tell us, the war on drugs. What is the war on drugs but a war on black and brown people? What is a war on AIDS but a war on black and brown women specifically? You know, but shit, where it even came from? Where it came from? Oh, it came from some monkey in, of all places, Africa. It had to come from Africa. The disease had to come out of the heart of Africa from some monkey. That's what they want us to believe. You know, but what is that? It's a whole construct that we be bullshitting around. That we be trying, we be wanting to engage in conversations and shit. Some of us think because we done been to college, to the university, and we done sat up in these damn classrooms and whatnot and stuff like that, that we think we can engage in these intellectual, intelligent conversations and shit, and that we can come away and we done hit on all the points, and we done come away and we got understanding, and the conversation was dope, and everybody had a chance to exert their intellectual prowess. It's no more than intellectual masturbation. And didn't even hit on shit. And then when they come across somebody like a Malcolm X who even went to school, he was pushed out of school. He was discouraged from being what he wanted to be. But look what happened to him. Look what the good Lord took and molded and fashioned and made and created into a man that nobody in the history of this country could hold his jock strap. And some naysayers, well, you know, they'll say Du Bois shit. Straight up. But look what happened. He didn't even get nowhere near finishing school. And for you know, he over there in London, he over there in Oxford, debating the best of their so-called scholars who had all this tenure and shit. And they couldn't even touch him. So we want to have these conversations. Niggas are still asking, how can we come together and solve the problem of black on black violence? Isn't that some amazing shit? It's some amazing shit. It's the 2020s, and a nigga asked that question. What can we do? What you mean? What can we do? All that is no more, no less than a cop out. It's some abstract bullshit. That's what that is. That's exactly what it is. If you take, like Malcolm said, it ain't been but a handful of us that tried to tell us where to really look when they spoke about understanding history. The history of what? The history of black people collectively in the relationship with what we call the state. And we ain't going to be able to say that enough. We don't say the government. We say the state. When them pigs tried it out, George Jackson, called himself trying to prepare to bring him to another hearing, or when he first trotted him out, they had the nerve enough to say the people versus George Jackson. George Jackson became conscious of that shit. And he said, look at here. We're going to correct something from way back. It's not the people versus George Jackson. It's the state versus George Jackson. You use the people to make them feel like that they're important, to make them feel like they belong. I feel like a man who got a woman or a woman who got a man. She got to constantly keep telling him he this, he that. You know, give him a side, make him feel good. You know, to stroke his ego so he can feel what? Like he can really feel like a man. And the same way, you know, with sisters. Some brothers got to keep telling their wives that they beautiful. You know, and whatnot. That's some psychological shit. But coming to that understanding, it's the state. It was the state versus George Jackson. The people didn't kidnap George Jackson. An arm of the state kidnapped George Jackson. They said, well, yeah, we had a jury, and they were chosen from among the people. Yeah, of course they were. But if you take a closer look at that shit and get to, well, what is a damn voir dire, whatever they call it. I've been through this shit a couple times. I don't even think they're going to call me back. Not after I got through with them. You know, real talk. And I'm not trying to project myself nothing like that, you know, or bragging nothing like that. But it's real shit. When you tell the judge, look, no, judge, you part of the whole shit. You part of the whole process too. You know, that's why nobody really go to jail who should be going to jail. What they call jail. Black people don't go to jail. Rich white men go to jail. They supposed to go to jail for the shit that they do. So it's a difference of terminologies and labels and expressions that we use. It ain't no same shit. It's not no same thing. No same thing, period. You know? And some, man, it's so much. We might have to have a part two of it. You know, I'm going to take my time. But, you know, that's the kind of consciousness that George Jackson had developed. And he had become so proficient at it that naturally it comes a nigga with a brain, nah, he's a threat. Okay, a nigga with a brain can't be but one or two things. And this is very clear. There's no mistaking about this. A nigga with a brain can't do and be but one or two things. Let's take a physicist, for example. Any nigga that loves physics, and he, you know, he end up going to the top schools and physics and all the shit, learning. What does a physicist do? A physicist learn how to make bombs. They got to the point where they calling the shit smart bombs now, right? Like that, a smartphone, right? A smart TV, shit. After a while, they got the whole house gonna be smart, but it's got vulnerabilities to it, right? So a physicist learn how to do that. So you black, and you become a physicist, and then you get up in there, and like, whoa, this dude finished the top of the class with the whole country. Now, you tell me what you going to do. You tell me what you going to be. You tell me who you going to work for. And you tell me what your job going to be now. You tell me. You're going to do one or two things. You gonna make that bomb, drop that motherfucker on the ones that they say is the enemy, or you gonna make that bomb and drop it on them so you can save your people. You can't do but one or two things. Ain't no middle ground. It don't work like that. You gonna drop no bomb on them, then drop a bomb on your own people, and then no, don't work like that. That's bullshit. That right there alone tells you a nigga with a brain, he got to do one or two things. He either gonna serve his people, or he gonna help the empire keep going. Now, do we need to take a look at the list of all these successful black people and see what they at with it? See what they've been doing with it? Huh? And their PhDs and what they went big from banking and everything else. Do we need to take a look? Need to give some examples? And you tell me. Real talk. Look at the little brother, Nipsey Hussle. Right? Look what happened to him. People look at that shit and just see it as a shame. You know, it's a shame that somebody would kill that brother was successful. He changed his life and became successful. And we don't chalk it up no further. We don't go no further than that with it. It's bullshit. And no coincidence that this nigga started getting the brain. He started reading books that the average Joe ain't going to read. And you damn sure enough ain't going to get them in no classroom. You ain't going to even get something in a so-called black college. You ain't going to get it. And then the way he started transforming his mind. He transformed his mind. He transformed his speech pattern. That was the problem. Then he started learning the game. This computer shit. Started learning all that technology and the apps and all that stuff. What did he do? He cut out the middleman. So he became his own Rockefeller, his own Rothschild, his own Warburg, his own Vanderbilt, his own Morgan, his own Carnegie, his own Oppenheimer, and so forth and so forth and so forth. You know? So a transformation. He was better off as a criminal than he was as successful. Take Monster Cody. He was known as Monster Cody back then on the West Coast. He was better off, and he said this himself, he was better off as Monster Cody than he was now as Sangeeka Shakur. Now that last name for a reason seems to stick and it resonates. There was an Asada Shakur who they tried to murder. That worked in the underground, the Black Liberation Army. Here's a black woman. A black woman named Asada Shakur. Then there was a Matula Shakur, who was the man, to my understanding, that actually raised Pop beyond his biological dad. And, of course, there's a Tupac Shakur, right? And we understand what happened to him, right? Now, his mama named him from Tupac Amuru, who was the leader of the people that was fighting valiantly in South America against what? The same opposing forces. And so Tupac Amuru Shakur, that's where he got his name from a Tupac in South America. That's how it worked. They chose to take their minds and put it towards their people. You could take East Asians, for example. They come here, do what? They learn all this shit, they go back to China. They go back to China. What do? Put that shit to work for their kind. So the state understands that, now, oh, well, damn, the Chinese is a problem. The Chinese is the problem. Now, why am I saying all of this? How is all that connected to this topic, right? You create material conditions that lead to concrete realities, which means we talked about this, or we mentioned the school system. For example, when they make fools of you, they don't teach you what they know you ought to be learning. But again, we would have to be out of our minds to think that the state, which is a criminal enterprise, is going to actually teach our children about such things as the Egyptians being black, about any history past slavery. Because they know that when one identifies his or herself with his own culture, and when they find out that their culture wasn't some goddamn cannibals, or some primitives running around the jungle with a loincloth and a spear, like Hollywood set up, so they can feed that image into our elders' head back in the 40s and the 50s, so they can hate where they came from. You hate where you came from, you can't do nothing but hate yourself. That's part of the criminalization of our children. It gets overlooked because of the lack thereof, because of the lack of a true understanding, a historical analysis of the shit. Your sister wrote this book called The Criminalization of a Race. Her name is Tasha McIntyre. I recommend anybody who would dare to want to really learn or get an idea of what we're talking about, get that book and read it, The Criminalization of a Race. The Criminalizing of a Race. Tasha McIntyre, McIntyre, something like that. It's an excellent book, well researched. She take you back to the plantation and then go forward. And she, I'm telling you, it's a heck of a job that she did. One thing about Europeans, they always keep statistics. They always have paperwork. They got to have paperwork so they can know what they did, how much, how little. They always got to have paperwork so they can know the job that they did. They can chalk it up as an excellent job. That excellent job couldn't possibly be a positive for one for you and your clan. The only way that shit can mean some value, some good, is if they did a pitiful job, a poor one. Now, you know, when we play clips and whatnot, you know, some of the clips you might hear, you know, one or two brothers that formerly in the Nation of Islam, and, you know, the Nation of Islam had their belief system about the white man, you know, ain't but X amount of years old and whatnot, and he, you know, the white man is a devil, You know, I remember all that shit coming up in the 80s, you know, blind hair, blue-eyed, white devil and whatnot and stuff. You know, the black man is God, and, you know, and there was those teachings. You know, like you got 5% nation and stuff like that, you know. Coming from that perspective, you know, one understands from a historical perspective, right? And looking at that, and some people, like I said earlier, we'll feel sorry for other people than our own selves first, you know. And so, you know, you got some that are staunchly defend against that shit, you know. Oh, you got, look, whatnot, you know. Some of them even get vehement with you. And they'll be like, my best friend is white. And he do a thing to me that some black people wouldn't do. You know, or they'll say this here, you talking about the white police, the black ones just as bad. You know, the black police, they'll treat you worse than the white ones would. Of course they fucking would. They got to. What you think this shit is? Like I said, I didn't say white police, black. I said the police, arm of the state. And he can't do but one or two things, just like I said a little earlier. He can't do but one or two things. He can betray his role or he can fulfill his role. They got some brothers that join the pigs, and they look out for their homeboys who was dope pushers. Some of them got caught. Y'all them probably saw some of those cases over the some odd years or so-and-so big drug ring, the ring leader got busted, and three officers were arrested. Shit, New York notorious for the shit. What that movie, Cirque du Coq? You know, so they're notorious. So they made several movies about that, right? Okay, so yeah, you could do one or two things. You know, you could do one or two things with the shit. You know, but this, you know, this historical thing about the white man and whatnot, you know, and you look at this, but you know, dang, you know, them brothers, you know, it's kind of hard to refute, you know, the angle that they coming from. You know, but of course, we're not in the absolutes. I'm not in the absolutes. You know, yeah, there's 10 white people. Yeah, one or two of them is a so-called good white person. But here's the thing. Okay, well, what's your role in this shit then? You know, what's your role in it? What's your role in this shit? You know? But you think they would teach you right if they don't treat you right. So the whole school system is part and parcel of the shit. You know, the school to prison pipeline, you know, where some people have done, you know, this homework, this research and whatnot, you know, and talked about how they get an idea of X amount of prison when they want to build a new concentration camp. That's right. That's why we say concentration camp. Just like this pig government claim when the Vietnam shit was over with, you know, they got their ass whooped, they got chased out of there by some motherfuckers who was experts in guerrilla warfare as opposed to this orthodox method of war and all that kind of stuff, right? And they had to get the fuck out, and then they still had POWs left over. See, they called them POWs, prisoners of war. They called the POWs, and they had them in concentration camps. Well, we don't see that shit no different than what takes place here in America. Black men are in general, prisoners of war. They're enemy combatants, and they're warehoused in these concentration camps. Do a comparative analysis between they claiming that they had POWs in Vietnam and compare that to the shit you see here today, and you show me the difference. The only difference I see is the location. The concept is the same. It's the same concept. You could take the things that Hitler did in Germany and compare it to the shit you see today. The only thing different is location. The concept is the same. You can compare what Mussolini was doing in Italy and compare the shit that they're doing right now today. The only thing that was location. Mussolini said fascism ought to be more correctly called corporatism. What you think you got today? What you think you got today? Yeah, you go vote. You go vote, but go get the public record on all the candidates. It's public record, hiding in plain sight. Go get the public record and see the campaign contributions of the corporation, and you're going to be on the loose with them. He's supposed to be a Republican. He's supposed to be a Democrat. Well, shit, why is Microsoft got 200,000 donations on this one, and $150,000 donation on this one over here. Who do you think that is the same thing? As a matter of fact, the British Prime Minister, the so-called leader of Britain, Churchill, back during the day, he admired Mussolini, as a matter of fact, due to his business savvy. The same shit. They admired Mussolini. But they told you when World War II was going down that he was the enemy. There was the evil Axis powers. You know, Allen Dulles, who was the leader of what became the CIA. Allen Dulles went back and told them fools, look, we fighting on the wrong side. Because what was he saying by that? He said they should have been fighting with the Germans and against the Russians. But how many of us would know that? How many? You think they're going to teach you that in school? You think they're going to have a political science class or history class? And when they get to the part about World War II, you think you're going to read that in the book? So they dumb you down. If they dumb you down, what do you think you're going to come out of that shit like? We're going to come out of that flying colors. Then you're going to go to college and grab what they call magna cum laude. And I used to like the way, you know, Dr. Cotton, which was a man, for those of y'all who don't know, the person that you would listen to, it was Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who was a former member of the Nation of Islam, who was excommunicated over a speech he gave some years ago at King College. And then he wound up, you know, at the helm of the new Black Panther Party, right? And he would talk about getting, you know, education degrees and whatnot. And then he was talking about, you know, magna cum laude and all. It's the way he's a sage. He'll have you laughing, you know, he made it very entertaining for you to listen to him, you know. But he'll say, laudy, you know. people have these tendencies and stuff, you know. But yeah, you think they're gonna get after you? They dumb you down, and you won't come out there flying with no flying colors. That's gonna happen. It's not gonna happen at all. So, what McIntyre was talking about when this so-called slavery shit was over. You know, this slavery thing, slavery ended. So we've been so conditioned. You know, we'll say that shit. Well, you know, slavery ended when slavery ended in 1865, even some of these so-called Black intellectuals who are supposed to actually be leading us in the think tank department. You know, they're supposed to be the ones that's going to guide us and shit, you know. This shit about some talent intent that Du Bois came up with 100 years ago, you know, and we thinking that, oh, this shit must be cool. Some of us want to be part of it. This cool right here. Oh, to be in the talent intent. Yeah, little did we know that this talent intent shit actually was set up, you know, as a wing of the state. You know, in other words, white men in black face. And this may sting some people. Some people don't want the college. Who went to college, black college, whatnot, right? They familiar with the word boule. They know what that word is, you know, in the black college circuit. They familiar with the word, but a lot of them may not necessarily be familiar with the actual operation or the actual existence or its purpose. It's almost like, you know, like in masonry, like, you know, there's those who know, and then there's those who think they know, but you don't let them know that they don't know. You just let them believe that they know too. That's what you call being on the outside looking in. Whereas when you're on the inside, you look out and see everything, and then you get the memo, but they don't get the memo. How you think Condoleezza Rice knew not to catch that plane that morning, the morning of 9/11, some terrorist attack? How'd they know she got a call? She would have been on one of those planes, and she got a call. One of the Negroes called her and told her, cancel that flight. That shit came out. People like, what? Dang. Or here's the orthodox view. Here's the general orthodox belief that they let people believe. Oh man, God must have been with her. You know. Dang, God, it was after God that she didn't end up on that plane. Yeah, I bet it was. That's because you are one of the ones on the outside looking in, and you think you know, whereas the motherfuckers on the inside could tell you what time it was. Right? That's what this shit is about. So there's those who know, and there's those who don't know, and they may be offensive to them. When you get to, well, man, this is how this works. This is how this works. And you, I don't have to make this shit up. There's a correspondence during the First World War. There's a correspondence during the First World War with the members of the Boule and U.S. military intelligence. I can't make this shit up. As a matter of fact, there's a book that contains the letters inside of it. Well-researched book, because somebody else is on it too. But they were, this book deals with the dilemmas of the First World War, you know, the ramifications of the First World War from Europe to America. The American issues that they was having, oh shit, the treatment of the Negro people, and that during wartime, motherfuckers can make money. You know, all the factories and the industries is running full steam ahead. You know, it's jobs, and you know, they can put that, register that shit for their GDP, gross domestic product, gross national product, through this math equation, and say, oh look, it's a 98 on the index, you know, almost perfect 100, right? They could do that kind of shit. So this pig government had a problem. They had a dilemma. They were saying, well, we're going to need all of a sudden a Negro. I've said it ain't but two times. And maybe three. I can't think of the third one. I've learned over the years, my short time, speck of time on this earth, that the only time black people become Americans is during the time of war and this Olympic shit that's about to come up. They've been showing the commercials. I've seen them when I see my own bowels. I'm an extraordinary little sister. Be blowing them Europeans' minds how she moving, bouncing, flipping, landing, all this kind of shit. That's the equation to that, too. The melanin. And so what they've been doing? They've been showing these niggas on TV, these black people on TV. They want the black people to be the face of the Olympics. Why? So our children will look up to them as the heroes, as the ones that, as the model themselves after. No, you don't model. No, little girl, you don't model yourself after a Sadie Cook. You model yourself after her right here. You model yourself after Dorothy Height. That's who you model yourself after. But you don't model yourself after a Sadie Cook or parent. No, you don't give your daughter the autobiography of a Sadie Cook to read. You give her this book to read. That's what you do. You model yourself after what her name is, this little rap girl going now, Megan Thee Stallion. You model yourself after her, you know, and some other ones that I can't think of. You model yourself after Nicki Minaj, you know. You don't model yourself after Amina Oshun. You don't model yourself after her. Who nobody don't know. Like they know Nicki Minaj, you know, and so forth. The same shit. You model yourself after LeBron James. You don't model yourself after Nat Turner. this nigga going around calling himself Nat Turner. You don't model yourself after that. And I said, well, shit, I got to be a Nat Turner because Bill Clinton's parents named him after a slave master, William Jefferson, was named after William Jefferson. His last name is just Clinton. So if there wasn't a William Jefferson, there wouldn't have been no need for Nat Turner back in the 1830s and the 1820s. He would have been irrelevant. If there was no Governor Wallace claiming ain't no little Negro children going to come in this school's day, I'm going to block the goddamn doorway. If there was no Governor Wallace, there wouldn't have been no necessary reason to have a Malcolm X, period. So it's necessary to have a Malcolm X because there was a Governor Wallace. Hell, don't they tell you that it's necessary to have the police because they got a criminal? Isn't that right? Isn't it necessary for a man to have a woman if you want to have a son? Isn't that simple mathematics? So how it becomes so complicated when it comes down to our children and the criminalization of our children? How all of a sudden now not, oh, well no, that ain't right. No. Well, see, well, that's an excuse, you know. Kind of, sort of, but actually, no. Then they start saying shit like, well, everybody at a moment in time, you know, it was his decision or her decision. It was his decision whether or not he was going to pull the trigger and whatnot. You know, it was his decision. You know, ain't nobody made him pull the trigger. Ain't nobody made her get up on that stage and strip. She could have went and got her job. She could have went to school after all. Education is important. Some of us have become so conditioned that we said, well, look, we see a way out of having potential problems, that struggling, paying bills and wanting to live in certain. We see a way, shit, go to school, get that degree. And you're going to be all right. Is that where it's at? Is that where it's at? Is that where it's at? You even see some middle-class people now getting ticked off. They even getting angry at the gas price going up. Shit, California got the highest goddamn average prices with gas. You know? So just imagine somebody with a hoopty. Got to go back and forth to their job. So just picture that. And they tell you, and you can live anywhere. That's bullshit. That's not true. You can be anything you want to be. That's not true. Because they make it impossible for it to be that way. John F. Kennedy even said this here. Those who make peaceful change impossible make violent revolution inevitable. A white man said that. No black man said that. A white man. Now, why did he make that statement? Why did he make that statement? So are we supposed to be believed? You know? Are we supposed to be believed? Are we supposed to believe him since he said it? You let a black man say that and watch and see what happens. They're going to accuse him of violence, of promoting violence. That's what they're going to do. You can't be black and talk about violence from another perspective, from a dialectical perspective. Like in some of these movies, they made this movie, it's a depiction of the Russians. It's a depiction of the Russians attacking America, and the little and the little white kids form, and they become a little underground urban guerrilla group, and they start calling themselves the Wolverines, and they start spray painting buildings and all this kind of stuff. Yeah, that movie is only, you can only be white and make those kind of moves. The characters got to be, they can't be black. You let a black director, a black producer, put a movie like that together and stick them in Haiti and show the American military coming in claiming they're coming to bring peace and democracy. And these guerrillas take them on because the guerrillas know why they're really there. And you watch and see what happens. So it's got to be the other way. It's got to be the criminal. Shit, this nigga, what his name is, Antoine Fuqua. He done made several movies. And for some reason, Denzel in every last one of the movies has the star character. He made Training Day. I saw the movie. I said, yep. Yep, I ain't surprised that this, you know, white boy made this movie. He made the black cop, the bad cop black, and the white cop the good cop. Until somebody said, wait, no, brother Nat, the director is black. I said, what? I said, okay, well, I stand corrected. I really got it now. I said, yeah, well, the colonized mind on automatic pilot. You know? But look at Antoine Fuqua movies. Look at the movies. Look at the movies. They stick Snoop Dogg in the wheelchair. And it ain't the white pig that's terrorized. It's the black one. But Snoop plays the criminal. So some little dude looking at that movie said, well, shit, when the pigs come, I'm going to do what Snoop did. I'm going to swallow this shit. That's what I'm going to do. Yeah. The TV industry, all of it, it's all together. You know, I never thought I'd see the day. Freaking the TV and the movie on. Back in the day, the movie was in the theater. It was rated R. And it would say explicit language and all that kind of shit. You couldn't even be a certain age to go to these movies. You know, you had to be a certain age to get to these movies. Now they playing the movie. The movie got all the they used to bleep out the profanity scene, or they used to have two versions of the movie. They would do a voiceover, and instead of, you know what I'm saying, mother effer, you know, they'll say mangy sucker, like when they showed American Gangster, when this informant Frank went to talk to what the nigga name is? Can't get his name. Well, anyway, when he went to his club to talk to him about copyright infringement, right, just like a capitalist do, right? And he tell him, so, well, this and that. He said, okay, Frank, I'll change the name. He said, okay, well, good, change. He said, you call it whatever you want. But they did a voiceover. Instead of him saying MF, you would hear it on the screen or through your TV. The voiceover made him say, mangy sucker. That's what they used to do. Edit that part out. They ain't editing shit no more. They ain't editing nothing. They making these hour dramas, sitcoms on Fox, wide open with it. Wide open with it. And nobody seems to see that. Michael Vick got busted fighting dogs. And the only reason why, because the same nigga that he looked out for when he was running the NFL, that he treated like a king. That's the only reason why. Now, am I promoting dog fighting? No. I'm just telling you what happened. My whole point was, here these people call themselves PETA, P-E-T-A, some animal good they got to do. And they want to protest victims that raising hell over dog fighting. But where's the group that raised hell over the movies that socialize our children? Where's that protest at? How come the athletes ain't speaking out on that shit? The entertainers and all the rest of them. And Lord knows the actors ain't going to do. Because they, after all, they got to have a job. Right? So you see the, what they call it, a catch 21 situation. We are in collectively as a people. Damn if we do, damn if we don't. Back in the 60s, those elders made sacrifices. Yeah, they made sacrifices. So our lousy ass could be right here today enjoying all this shit. And we've turned our back on it. Like it just went away. Our problem just went away. Because you know why? Certain forces within our community had us under the impression that If we can desegregate shit, we'll be all right. We'll be free. We can be equals and go to school like them and get degrees in business and education, finance, and so forth, medicine, and so forth, and we'll be equals like them. Oh, and let me not forget the vote, and we'll be equals. Is that where it's at? Look, the staunchest white people hated that shit. The most extreme of the extreme whites, they the only ones that hated that shit. The other whites was like, look, let the nigga in the school, let him sit by me and get a burger, fries, and a Coke. You know? Let the man wife come and have a baby in that room they call it, you know? That's all right. Let a nigga in the White House. Don't trip. Have y'all forgotten? Fool, we still got the power. It's still called the White House. Remember? So don't trip. Only the extreme whites hated that. And what I'm saying to you is the extreme whites, if they had their way, they will put our black ass back literally, physically in the chains. The liberal whites ain't no different from them. I know a jackass and an elephant don't look nothing alike, and a blind man can tell the difference. But the leech that's on that jackass and the leech that's around that elephant is being held by the same hand. It's just mere entertainment. And both of them, in their own way, have dumbed down our children. Both of them. Criminalize our children in the education system. When you set a people up, and I can't forget this here, I made some notes, you know, because I didn't want to I didn't want to forget anything, you know. But here's a very, 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 very important factor right here. That we've overlooked either on purpose or unconsciously. Because there's been people in our midst that have been conscious of this, but they didn't put it under the spotlight when they had their chance to speak. And this thing is what I'm talking about is this. During slavery, physical slavery, the value of the black collective was very high. Was very high. It was when physical slavery ended and this shit about Reconstruction started kicking in, is when the black collective start losing value. I'm going to show you what capitalism is. Using human beings, not apples and oranges, not greens or soybean, none of that shit there, or cotton. Well, maybe I can use cotton, but I'm going to use human beings to get you to understand what value is in the capitalist system and how it can go from the in-house to the out-house, like that movie Training Day. Right, where they swapped, they did an experiment, they swapped this nigga from the street, some criminal, hustler, beggar, and this white boy who's on top of the world, right? And they did an experiment, the two old men that ran the, you know, the Wall Street firm, right? Trading with pork bellies and all the shit, we don't even understand. Because those who were supposed to be teaching didn't teach us shit. They ain't bothered to do You have to ask yourself, why didn't anybody do it either? No coincidence. But like that, move it up. He lost value. He gained value. So what happened to the one who lost value? He ended up on the streets. Now, when Reconstruction kicked in, the black collective lost value. Why did they lose value? They lost value due to what they call the industrial age kicking in machinery. And this shit still goes on to this day. I can't make this shit up. So these Europeans figured out the combustion engine and all this kind of shit and the machine, right, to make the loom. You have to have, as in the part of your equation, as a capitalist or in the capitalist mode of production, part of your equation has to be speed, rate, plus time. That is the golden equation of the capitalist construct. So, for those who believe that some honky named Abraham Lincoln actually cared about the niggas, and that is kind of hard to understand if you read his personal, I don't know if it's diaries or his personal accounts, though, his true feelings for the nigga. He said that instead of us being citizens, he said that he sees us no more than denizens, D-E-N-I-Z-E-N-S. Citizen is opposite of denizen. And he said, if I could avoid this war, if only I could get around it, then I would leave the Negro in his current position. And they get these Negro intellectuals and give them spots on C-SPAN when they have this national book fair and all this kind of shit, and they put them niggas up there. And they instruct them, look, we need you to get on here and reinforce this thing about Abraham Lincoln being black people's heroes. Okay. But when Reconstruction kicked in, we lost value. So there's no more need to see us as important because the machine could produce faster than manual labor. That is the first factor that you take into consideration. That right there in itself was the beginning of the end, the second beginning of the end. The first beginning of the end was what? Being snatched, kidnapped, and brought and forced into slavery and becoming slaves. Because ain't no slaves came from Africa. Ain't no niggas and bitches came from Africa either. As a matter of fact, some of those who were kidnapped, they were actually in line to inherit the throne as princes and princesses. Just like you see this thing that they show you over here in England, right? Prince Charles and all these motherfuckers, now he's King Charles, right? Because the motherfucker kicked the bucket, right? All that kind of shit, that same thing. Same thing. So to lose value could lead only to what? When you lose value. Okay. Let me put it this way. When you bought them Jordans last year, or year before last, or 3 years ago, now the 2024 Jordans is out. Ask yourself, has those Jordans you bought in 2021, do they still have value? Ask yourself. The bottom they got worn. Got some scuff marks on them because you decided to go out there and play a little basketball in them. Because what? Because you needed people to see you with some Jordans on. Because psychologically, in your mind, it lets you know that you're on the in crowd. That's why they changed the school dress code. That's why the students got to wear uniforms now. Because back in the 80s, some of us could afford that shit. Air Jordan, Polo, Perry Ellis, let me name them, Versace. You know, some of us could afford that stuff. Those of us who could, what happened? So that's why they changed the school dress code. So they could protect those who couldn't afford to wear a nice pair of sneakers or a polo shirt. They was wearing clothes from the thrift store. So it's shit like that. It's shit like that. They could come up with that kind of genius plan. But they could come up with a genius plan to say community control of the schools, community control over the goddamn curriculum. Which is what the Black Panther Party was point seven, the 10-point program. And if you don't have it, what you think you're going to have? So we lost value in Reconstruction. So you lose value, then there's no concern for your humanity. So it's no more than cannon fire, like in war. You cannon fire. These little dudes joining the military, they have no idea. They have no idea what they really in it for. A few of them woke up and became conscious objectors. And they defected. Right? So Reconstruction, what did they do? They learned how to re-enslave the Black populace collective. They created all kind of shit that became against the law. Vagrancy, loitering. They made them up on the spot because you know why? They knew that a lot of Black people would end up being homeless. And then they began to criminalize them. This sister in this book records and demonstrates how the prison population, pre-slavery, was pretty much white people. And that during Reconstruction and on into Jim Crow, the population changed in terms of so-called race. That was the beginning of the end, the beginning of the prison industrial complex. Of course, they referred to it as a penitentiary. And inside the word penitentiary is the word penitent. Because you know why? When the white criminal was doing what they was doing, they gave them an opportunity to be penitent for their crimes. That's why they call that shit the house of detention. For those who've been down there through these concentration camps and went inside and they got the big ass word over there, you're going to see your loved one. And they have a house of corrections or a house of detention, whatever, right? Well, that's why it was named that. Penitentiary for the white boys. So they can go in, become penitent, and then they could come out to be upstanding citizens. But when Reconstruction kicked in, you start seeing this change in pattern. Now, what would make Black people more criminal in Reconstruction than they would have been doing physical slavery? Wouldn't it have been the other way around? It should have been. Since they was free in Reconstruction, why would they become criminals if they're free? Why would they? Would it be for? No. That was the beginning of the end. Today you call that the prison industrial complex that has become privatized. Wagon Hut, for example. And we got to continue this shit next week. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. In Defense of the People Radio, brought to you by People's Political Party. I'm one of your hosts, Chairman Nat, and my co-host, our Minister of Defense, Brother Motherland. And our assault technician on the ones and twos, Sister Ama Oshun, our Minister of Communication. We'll be, like Dr. Carter said, we'll be black next week, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, and continue this
onslaught. Black power, our power to people, and you will rule, we out of here.
Let me now turn to our program for the future.
Economy right now, it's extremely supporting of the president and his policy.
FBI scientists have found chemical traces consistent with a bomb or a missile on a piece of wreckage. Police using clubs and tear gas against demonstrators.
Sullen, a white fascist. Like they said, you're getting some of your own medicine.
Then the rest will fall behind. Tell me who's got control of your mind, your worldview. Is it the news or the movie you taking your girl to? Know what I'm saying, cause Uncle Sam got a plan. If you examine what they telling us, then you will understand what they planting in the seeds of the next generation. Feeding our children miseducation. No one knows if there's UFOs or any life on Mars, or what they doing when they up in the stars. Because I don't believe a word of what the president said. He's filling our heads with lies, got us hypnotized when he be speaking in cold words about crime and poverty, drugs, welfare, prisons, guns, and robbery. It really means us. There's no excuse for the slander, but what's good for the goose is still good for the gander, see.
I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would've been a panther. They killed Huey because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda.
Computer chip in my arm. I don't wanna die by a nuclear bomb. I say we all rush the Pentagon, pull out guns and grab the intercom. My first words would be, I believe man made God out of ignorance and fear. If God made man, then why the hell would he put us here? I thought he's supposed to be the all-loving, the same God who let Hitler put the Jews in the ovens. We don't fall for the regular shit. They try to feed us all this half-ass leadership, flipping position. They turn politician and shut the hell up and follow tradition. Boy, your TV screen is telling lies to your vision. Every channel got the brainwashed cop shit to watch. Running up in niggas' cribs claiming that they earned shots. It's a plot. But Buster, can you tell me who's greedy? The big corporations, the pigs or the media? Sign of the time, terrorism on the rise. Commercial airplanes falling out the skies like flies. Make me wonder what secrets went down with Ron Brown, who burned the churches to the ground with no evidence found. It's not coincidence. It's been too many steady incidents. It could have been the Klan who put that bomb at the Olympics, but it probably was the FBI. Deep at the core, cause if they make us all panic, they can start martial law. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. They killed you because they knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is propaganda. I don't believe Bob Marley died from cancer. 31 years ago, I would have been a panther. You killed you because you knew he had the answer. The views that you see in the news is motherfucking propaganda.
Some other groups simply because we understand
the system better than most groups understand the system. And with this realization, we attempted to form a strong political base based in the community with the only strength that we have, and that's the strength of a potentially destructive force if we don't get freedom.